Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
David Holliday, Stone Age Connection. So, I was handed a challenge from the beginning when I got on the phone because they said nobody ever lets adults make anything. The kids always go home with projects. And then they said, but we can't tell you how many people are showing up and we can't tell you if anybody will even attend your class at all. And I kept thinking, well, how could I prepare for an unknown number of people with something that might be kind of technically advanced and take all the time? So I started to think about what's the simplest thing that we're all kind of familiar with, and that's our clothing. And our first clothing, according to the biblical record and the archaeological record supports it, was, I think it said that Adam and Eve recognized that they were naked, and Dad made them a suit of clothing. So who's the first brain tanner on planet Earth? God, Dad. They didn't make their own clothes. They got handed an already made suit of clothing by the best brain tanner in the universe. Do you think it was a good set of clothes? But according to the archaeological record, weaving cloth didn't happen for a long time. We were skin wearers. And so while I've been talking to you just now, I've already made about 5 to 6 inches of really scratchy, uncomfortable string. made from the redded fibers of stinging nettle. And if you come from Europe and weren't rich, your ancestors wore stinging nettle clothing. Only rich people could have other types of clothing. Now, I've made this one 3 days ago to practice, and it's already smoothing out and comfortable. Okay. But I'd like you to all do what I'm doing if you have some of this. We have some helpers here. But I want you to make about a foot of this stuff by just slowly drawing it out of the mass and spinning it. But if it ever pulls out too soon and just kind of breaks off. So I want you to make about a foot to a foot and a half of this. And then we're going to teach you the very first weave, the grandpa and grandma of all the weaves. Now, just for the thought process, yes, ma'am.
So what do we do if we break off?
You just, here, I'll break it off on purpose. Oops! You put it back in the fuzz pile, and you start twisting, and it starts grabbing neighbors and yanking it into, like everybody's doing it, they're all going that way, and they grab, and pretty soon it just restarts. Okay, so this spin is not a weave. This is spinning. But the next thing we're going to do is the first known weave in the archaeological record. And it's called twining. You're reverse wrapping two pieces of spun material. And because it's a reverse wrap, they bind on each other and they don't come apart. Now, what I was about to tell you is if you took all the string in this room that's been woven into the clothing we're wearing, we could go to Provo and back a couple times. If you took all the string on planet Earth and went, you could go to the moon and back a lot of times. That your socks, your pants, pretty much everything, including some of the new high-tech things. Does anybody remember the stuff that some hippies took some soda pop bottles and shredded it and made this new kind of fleece back in the 70s? You remember that? It's made out of shredded soda pop bottles, the plastic soda pop bottles. They shredded that material and came up with those really cool fleece. You know, all that, and then that created a technology where everybody's wearing, you know, stuff made out of everything but animal or plant fibers or combinations. And then, and once you want to spend a lot of money, you can go back to the original all silk all cotton, an all wool, what do you call it? Smart wool. It's just wool. It does. So, okay, so next step, and there's two really beautiful, solid human beings here that will teach you this next part if you don't get this. But people in the old days used to not always have somebody around to help, and they learned to use all their body parts some days. But generally, there was somebody around to help, because that's how people really survived on planet Earth. They didn't vote people off the island. They figured out how to cooperate. That's why we're here. Everybody clap your hands and pat yourself on the back, because we're here because we learned to love each other and cooperate. But here's what I can do when I got no friends, is I can use my lips and my teeth. And so I'm going to spin now, both of these going that way. They're both spinning the same direction. I'm actually spinning it opposite directions if I straighten it out. But when I fold it in half, what this one's doing looks just like this one's doing, but it's actually creating kind of a spin there. But watch what I do. You don't have to do this. But I'm going to hold it tight with my teeth, and then when I want it to spin a little, I'm going to let go with my teeth, and my lips are going to be a soft place. And then I'm going to bite with my teeth again, and then my lips. I'll let go with my teeth and let my lips guide it. And then my teeth, on my lips, and then my teeth, on my lips. And that's a fast way. To make kind of an ugly twine, which has strengthened it astronomically. It's now stronger than its two parts. It's way stronger than just two because of the way it's bound together, but it won't come back apart. And then when you get to, and I'm going to show you the other way to do this without your lips. There's this thing called the reverse wrap, where you spin away from yourself, and then you pull towards yourself over the top and kick that other one back out. So now the one that was the closest to you is the farthest. And you grab that, and you spin it. You point your finger at yourself like that. Make your finger go the other way. And now the other one's the farthest one away. And you just keep doing that. So you're spinning clockwise, wrapping counterclockwise. If you're using cave people language, it's spin away, pull towards, over the top. But if you have clocks and know about that, it's clockwise, counterclockwise, clockwise, counterclockwise, clockwise, counterclockwise. Now that's 30,000 years later, or 100,000 years later, according to the scientific record. To us, we think, well, maybe that's 7,000 years later. When did watches and steel and all that stuff show up in the Adam and Eve record? The graduating class of Jesus. Not the mammoth hunters, not the 40,000-year-old other groups. The people who showed up later because they were planted in a garden by some god from some other planet. Crazy story, huh? I believe it. Okay. So we're looking at the great-great-grandpa and grandma of the very first weaves, and everything you're wearing that is woven came from this ancestry. We don't have to have been the inventors to be the benefactors of all those, but nobody here is related to anybody that didn't do this or have this done for them, especially since we found out we were naked. There are groups that fell away from the lots of technological advances. But what I'm here to talk about is how all of our technological advances came because we're the only animal on planet Earth that makes a tool to make a tool to make a tool to make a tool. There are lots of tool users besides us. We're the only ones who produce tools to produce tools. So everything else makes a tool to accomplish something and then drops it. There's a couple of repeat tool users like otters who will use the same rock sometimes for generations and lay it down in the bottom of the kelp beds, and their ancestors will pick up that same rock because it's the right size, it's been banged on so long, it's smooth on the right side, and they'll just keep using the same rock to smash clams and oysters on. But we're the only ones that'll keep using the same tool over and over again. And we're the only ones that'll hit a rock. To get some particular shape in the same spot 50,000 times. Because every other rock on planet Earth tumbles down off a hill and gets haphazardly shaped by haphazard movement. But you know it's a people thing when it's got lots of work in one spot and no work on it anywhere else. Sorry for that. So we begin to shape our world. And oh, by the way, how do you define technology? Because that's what we're talking about. The study and use of tools is the Webster Dictionary word for technology. And it's a big thing in our modern world. We're trying to copy all the things that our brain does and our eyes do and our ears do. But when the Industrial Revolution came along, we were just trying to copy the muscles of big animals. And a long time ago, we were just trying to copy the sharp teeth and sharp claws of big animals. And now we're trying to copy ourselves and our parts, our own parts. It's a weird selfie world right now. But some of it's been quite helpful, and some of it's been some of the worst addictions and traumas to the modern world. Has anybody read Glow Kids? Boy, I'm surprised. I guess your kids are all so good you don't need to read what's happening to everyone else's children in the world. But the people who invented all those little games and stuff have all gotten together and decided that they wish they never did, and they've created an organization to warn everybody that they've created something deadly to the soul. And there's a book called Glow Kids that'll help you get really smart about what not to let your children do. My wife will guide you on that. But so back to your bracelet. It's about 3 and 4 year olds committing suicide because somebody takes their games away. You've all heard that, right? God, I'm so glad that the homeschooling world is out of that loop. God protects some people from the ignorance of the Babylonians. But here we go. This is your bracelet for the day. This proves that you remembered your great-great-grandpa and grandma way back 7,000 years ago when they got kicked out of the garden and Dad wasn't making clothes for them anymore. And they had to wear scratchy, stinging needle pants and shirts. So get humble. Put ashes on your head and wear sackcloth once in a while. Okay. Repent. Because otherwise you're going to be wearing really smooth, nice deer skins, elk skins, and rabbit skins. And that will make you wicked if you get into that too much. Yeah. Shun it. Wear the scratchy stuff. Okay. Joking. I'm talking to adults. By the way, I didn't talk to your kids this way at all. We talked about the ancestry of a stick, how a stick became something else. And so your challenge is to either ignore me or listen, but hear the ancestry of what happened to one tool and where it started, which was a haphazard. Somebody's looking for a way to dig up a grub. Their fingernails aren't good like the bear's, or their tusks aren't good like the warthog. So they grab a stick and start digging in the earth to get their grubs out. But somewhere along the line, somebody got a fire going. They got a harder wood like oak, and they burnt the ends off, and it actually makes these sharp ends if you fire, and then scrape the charcoal off, and they had a keeper stick. A stick that they could not only defend themselves with and make noises when something came at them, but they could throw it at things that came at them, and they could still dig, a multi-tool. So you could go to sleep with your club, digging stick, planting stick eventually. But then the ancestry started changing, because once somebody said, well, I want to make one that's specifically for poking. And those got longer. But they also became really good so you didn't have to bend over while planting. But they were hard to throw unless you were going to throw them with the pointy end first. And that's a whole new ancestor. We're going to follow the ancestors of this one. But real quickly, I'm going to show you that the ancestors of the one that, when Krogla was processing roots and she saw something moving on the corner of her eye, and she stopped for a second and threw her food processor, and it hit Krog and made him laugh because it hurt really bad. And he said, how did you make me hurt from so far away? And they got the idea that you could hurl something and cause a lot of trouble. And the ancestor of that led to some pretty amazing new things. But they eventually, by about 800 years ago, started looking like this. And they were specifically for hunting things from a distance by throwing them sideways or overhand. But they decided to flatten the bottom and curve the top. What does that do? What's the Bernoulli effect caused by? Anybody know it? It's more air traveling over the top than the bottom, and it creates lift. So they thought about this a long time ago. How? By trial and error, maybe, or by inspiration, by dreams. Anybody like math in this group? Really, really do like math. Okay, does somebody want to throw out what they think the world believes or their personal belief on how long human beings have been on planet Earth, our type of human being? I know it's scary for some people in a religious community, but I can believe that this Earth was recycled and used for many graduating classes besides the graduating class of Jesus. So I'm going to say that our particular little band that was placed here 7,000 years ago might not even have any relatives in the older digs, but the digs are there, the evidence is there, the data is there. So what does science say? Some people say 70,000 years. Some people say 300,000 years. The Hopis and the Hindus say that it's an in and out breath and it's been going on forever, and that every star has a planet around it where God's children are learning how to learn to be gods. Sound familiar? Those cultists. So, back to this idea that we have a lot of tools. Our tools have ancestries just like we have. This idea led to the airplane wing. Are airplanes still being used? This idea led to farming. This idea led to farming more comfortably, but it also led to protection. And it led to groups banding together and getting lots of these and protecting themselves from the bigger creatures that had all the stuff, the big claws, the big teeth, and the weight and the muscle. But somewhere along the line, since we're just going to follow one ancestry, somebody learned to make a stick that throws a stick. And that's when we became the best killers on planet Earth. All the other dangerous creatures started diminishing and disappearing when our ancestors or somebody else's ancestors came up with this. And that's about 20,000 to 30,000 years ago. Does anybody know how to say this in English? Atlatl. It's a Nahual word or a Mexica word, and it means this. But they were static, sometimes made out of bone or ivory for a long time. But then somebody way later figured out that if they use the flex when something starts to take off, it not only puts pressure on the item that's being thrown, but it puts pressure on the thing that's throwing it. So there's this moment where they're both pushing off of each other. And some people, some really smart people, all of our ancestors, if you believe that version, learned to make flex in this match the flex in the spear. And the spear, or the ancestor, got smaller. And I don't know who it was that decided to tie a bird feather to a stick. But the first one probably just said, oh, look. That bird, it is beautiful. It flies far. It flies straight. I want my spear to do the same. I will put some bird magic on my spear. It will have the power that that bird has. It's a story. But what if they tied the feather to like the middle? It looked really cool, like an Apache on his horse. It didn't help the flight. What if they tied it to the front? That makes the sharp end get there after the dull end because it creates drag. But somewhere along the line, people started putting feathers on things as guidance and drag at the same time, so that it flew not only straight with the pointy end first, it also guided it so it didn't flop around while flying and went straight to the target. And they started tying rocks to this part, that were slidable on a piece of string so that the flex in this released at the same time as the flex on this. That's getting two wavelengths to release at the same time. Is this getting technology? That's the caveman and woman word for technology. So what is technology again? Did I mention that to you earlier? Did you remember that earlier I said that? What is it? It's the study and use of tools. Did I mention that? Because I might not have. I just finished saying all this in a different way to smarter people. Or at least the new group that's got to use this stuff and get smarter than us. That's what I meant by that. So my version, my dictionary definition is using anything outside the human body to modify your physical surroundings. So we are all tool users. Anyway, by the way, so somebody figured out how to make the flex in this meet the flex in this. And when that started happening, when the first Spaniards arrived on this continent, they were wearing body armor. And they were fighting all the way from when they landed in the True Cross, Veracruz, all the way to the land of the Mexica, which had been conquered by a Nazi-like war group, CIA killers, called the Aztecs. So some rough killers from Spain who'd conquered the Moors and stuff met some rough killers over here who neither one of them represented the continent they came from. But when they met each other, they thought they were the only people worth talking to on planet Earth. And so their story about each other is the only one we get. So the lie we get is the leftovers of two really mean groups lying about each other. But they don't represent the continent nor the people they come from any more than who here is from has Germanic ancestry. Does Hitler represent your worldview? Well, then, okay, the Aztecs don't represent Mexico. Just straightening that out right now politically. Just like a lot of presidents that you haven't voted for didn't represent you. So, doesn't matter who they are. But when the Spaniards first got to the Mexica world, the Nazis were in charge. They called them Azteca. They were killers who were a warlord military group that usurped all the religions and got everybody to believe they were the gods. They didn't represent God. They were the gods. You ever met anybody like that? You can't get to God unless you come through me? Okay. So they found out, the Spaniards found out that some men from 300 meters away, this was recorded by the priests, by the way, not the soldiers, could impale them through their armor with these skinny little cane reeds with hardwood foreshafts, a little bit of pine pitch on the tip, and one of these things. So they captured one, asked him what it was, tortured the slave, and he said, Atlatl. And so that's how we got this word in our language. Because our ancestors who were using all these in Europe had forgotten about them and were way into guns and swords by then. So everybody forgot about this, except the people who are still here using them. So our world learns about these from people who came back from this part of the world and told us about something we used to use before we forgot about it. Sound like any familiar? Have you ever read the Bible about knowing something and then forgetting it and then knowing something and forgetting it? So our technologies go that way. But how am I doing for time? Because the next ancestor gets smaller, but so does the things being hunted. So there were still Paiutes in this part of the world and Anasazi using this tool even at our contact. But the average person in this part of the world had learned about that flex and learned to capture that flex and put it into something else. So we're still talking about spears, but I want to talk to you about a side ancestor that came from something that was straight once. And they captured the energy of that straight stick with a piece of string. And the string was made from the tendons of animals. And if you make string like you're making right now out of tendons and let it dry in the sun, it shrinks back up into a useless blob. But if you stretch it between two rocks or two limbs on a tree, it becomes this nice, straight, usable string. So imagine having to move camp so often because your wife, you're the chief, you're in charge, and your wife says, honey, it's time to go. People have been pooping here for 2 weeks. I can smell everything. And the chief goes, we've decided to move camp. And you just made a batch of five great strings for tying things up, bundling your goods. The bow and arrow hasn't even been invented yet. And one day, one of your kids comes up and says, "Dad, look, I have a portable string stretcher. I can walk and keep my string stretched at the same time." And then he or she starts doing this. And they're carrying their music, and pretty soon they're not listening to anybody because they're playing the... And they're getting all into themselves and their sound. Nobody does that, right? This is the great-great-great-grandpa and grandma of all the stringed instruments, pianos, guitars, you name them. People were doing this, and they might not have started doing this to make sound, but something else came out of it. Let's get back to the ancestors we're trying to follow, because there's been so many side branches in our ancestry here. Eventually, this is the type of bow and the type of arrow that the Paiutes were shooting around here, that lived out in here, and they weren't going after big game often. They were living off of rabbit meat and fish, and they were skinning rabbits and turning them into string and making rabbit blankets, weaving rabbit skin into blankets. And they could nail something that size pretty easily with a pretty weak bow and a pretty dull all-stick arrow. But it was when somebody way back in the Atlatl era, when we were still looking at maybe even hunting mammoths, that some smart person, we're going to back up in the family tree, somebody started making combination tools where they took rocks and sticks and bones, and they started making tools where you could get a big animal down, like a mammoth. If you had a team of people that had bags of 10 or 15 of these per person, and then a couple of good spears, you hide, you jab that big hairy elephant in the gut and run, and then your next brother comes in, your sister does the same, and pretty soon you put about 20 of these into the organs, underside organs of a big creature that finally bleeds to death 4 days later. So the football game was rough, and once in a while we lose a few, but if we get one of them, we get to eat all winter. But this was a huge, huge step forward in technology, was binding rocks to sticks with animal tendons and making reloads, so you weren't stuck with a spear that just got left in the animal and it ran away with your tools. And then you could retrieve them all if you were successful and use them again. So that's going backwards now. Now we're going to move forwards. Those cute little arrows that stuck in that basket quite easily turned into really deadly, sharp stone, animal, and plant part tools that were shot from bows that were so strong that a Coulter, one of the first white guys to come out west, that's why there's so many plants by the last name of Coulteri in the Latin, and then there's Fremontii, that was another white guy that showed up. But Coulter said that Apaches were shooting his guys through the neck sometimes and impaling them into oak trees and hanging them on the arrow, and that the arrows were sometimes 4 to 6 inches into the oak tree, partly because the points were so sharp and partly because the bows were so powerful. So they could take something small and cause more trouble than something big by making it move faster. And we've continued in that thing where we can shoot light particles so fast they can burn a hole through something. We don't even have to reload. But now we're going to go to the last ancestor I'm going to talk about. And it doesn't even have anything to do with harming anything at all. Does it? It makes a hole, but not the same way. We're going to talk about a young girl who was told by her parents, "We don't go over that mountain. We live in this valley." But the girl kept watching the sunset, thinking, "Every day a new sun comes up, and every evening they have a big dance because I can see the fire out there, and it's beautiful, and every color in the world's out there." I want to see that. So when she gets about 20-something, she disobeys her cultural rules. She goes to the pass and looks over, and she sees a body of water that you can't see across, and she tastes it, and it tastes like salt. And salt's hard to come by. But on the beach of that place, she found really a beautiful bowls to eat out of and beautiful tools and things and cutting edges. And she brought them back to her people and she said, I went there and it's an amazing place. You need to come see it. And they all said, oh, it must be true because look what she brought back. And so somehow, somewhere along the line, it became a fad or a sacred thing to go make the trek to do your coming of age ceremony, come back with shells. And then somewhere along the line, somebody says, I want to wear these. These are beautiful. They remind me of pollen. I want to somehow put them on my clothes. And so somebody broke a piece of sharp rock or found a haphazard stuff. And you just go like this. And you can start seeing little white powder come off. And about a week later, you got a hole all the way through of really hard shells. But somebody took one of Uncle Krog's broken arrows and found out that they could improve and shorten the drill time and increase the revolutions per second by spinning it. And so they got the right kind of rock, learned how to shape it, and they turned them into hand drills. And then the next step, and this is where things get really weird because there's no practical reason to do this. So I think it was a kid playing with one of Uncle Krog's broken arrows and Auntie's big beads. Auntie was big. She liked big jewelry. She wore big beads. And she wanted her doll to play like Auntie. And she came up with something that might not have had anything to do with improving technological chores at all. But it just, look at it, it moves. I put energy into it and it just keeps dancing. And so she showed her mom, and maybe that had no practical use for a long time, kind of like those rings with the big candy diamond on them. They're just cool, but what do they do? You can have a lollipop, but it's just this thing, you know, look at this cool thing. But somebody went back again and said, let's not only drill a hole in the bead, let's drill a hole in a stick, and then let's drill two more holes in that stick, and who knows how long this took, and when it came about, and how many years between one cute idea to some useful idea. But that digging stick that turned into the longer digging stick that turned into the spear that turned into the atlatl dart that turned into the arrow, a long time later turned into the very first way to produce money. And it uses centrifugal force and a hard bit to drill holes in anything softer than it. And it reloads its own self each push, and it changed the world of every place it came to, and it is still growing because the belt driven shaft is the major idea after changing the motors to steam and things like that instead of oxen that changed the Industrial Revolution, that changed our world because they started making gas and diesel motors that now run belt-driven shafts that run lots of things. Until now, electricity runs belt-driven shafts, and Tesla's has a car that has the wheels spin because it's round things on a shaft, and all the jets that go over every day are staying up in the air because of the, what do you call those things that spin to keep the jet from flipping over? The gyroscope, and all other tools that use a wheel on a shaft, like your washer machine, your tape recorder, if you use them anymore. So all the digital things are a whole different thing. That's a technology that's copying the brain. But not only did this not stop, that digging stick that we got our grubs out turned into this, but then somebody added this. And so this is probably the last of the ancestor that was for just making a hole in something? Because guns don't follow that pattern. Bows and arrows are still being used, but those aren't new. They're just new parts. But the idea that this part added to the stick and the belt that runs the shaft has gone on to be most of our technologies now that run big physical things. And then we started copying the blood system in a human being, and now it's hydraulics along with electronics that run robots and everything else. And so we've left some of our ancestry behind, but I just wanted to show you that all of our tools have an ancestor just like you. And I'll end with this. What's the time here? Good. I want to ask some hard questions then. I have some hard questions. Would you rather die from a saber tooth eating you and dragging you and parting you out and feeding you to its kids, or from nuclear waste in your bologna sandwich? There's an English word that is the correct answer, because this is a trick question. If you're from England, it's neither. Neither. I don't say this. Who here is right-handed? Okay, put your tongue on the right-hand side of your mouth and bite it real softly. Left-handers? Other side. Ambidextrous? In the middle. And say, I don't want to die. We have been fighting to stay alive after we got kicked out of the garden. Things got harsh. And we've been using our tools to mitigate for our weaknesses ever since. We didn't have the skin, the hair, the teeth, and the claws to make it on planet Earth. We had big brains, and we used our brains to make stuff to protect ourselves from our weaknesses. We are the pinkest, weakest. I don't care what culture you're born into and what color your mom and dad are. When you come out, you're kind of pinkish purple with white cream all over you. And you're weak and you can't walk or do anything or take care of yourself for a long, long time. And there are caves in Africa where the primates of the African, Central Africa, there's a type of primate that was 300 pounds heavier than the saber tooth, had thicker bones and was lower to the ground, and it principally lived on primates and uprights. That's our supposed kin. And then later its relatives started just once in a while would go crazy and they would eat only human beings. And they find caves of skulls with the balance centers bit out. That means that you can keep them alive. They're catatonic. They're not dead. They're just everything that runs all your parts is crushed. And then you can eat them later. But those big cats were eating principally our kind of being. The upright, two eyes in the front, you know, teeth, ears, our kind, primate types and us. And I'm going to separate those two because I think they came on two different occasions. That's my scientific nonsense. So back to this problem of dying, and it's been scary. And every time we've solved the problem, we found a new one to be afraid of. We've never not been afraid of dying, and we've never, well, I mean, as a big group, some of us know better than to be afraid. Some of us have died. Who has died before and come back? It's really cool. It's not as scary as everybody says it is. The hard part's being in pain and suffering until you get to step off. But dying has scared us for a long, long time, and we end up doing everything we can to solve that problem. And then a generation later, it says, oh, smallpox, we figured that out. But cancer, ooh, that's scary again, right? So every generation has the stuff they figured out. It's no big deal. But before that, it was the biggest deal. So what I want to get at here, the last, is there's technologies that we are fiddling with right now that can kill us all. And there's naysayers that say we shouldn't go there. And I believe that we should figure out what we're doing before we run headlong into disaster. But if we were afraid of everything that was unknowable and undoable and stayed put and never left the house to be safe, we would still be using rock, sticks, and bones to solve our problems in a much different way than we are now. So here's a modern one. It's a quandary. It bothers me. And so I'm going to bring it up to you. If you were told that if you tried to copy what the sun does, that you were evil, and you're busy warming your hands one day thinking, wow, why do my hands warm up? Try this if you're not too cool for school. Get your hands really hot and then put them on your cheeks real quick. Doesn't that feel good on a cold day? Put them on your other cheeks and put them all over you. You can warm yourself up by friction. And someday, one day, this old man was listening to a little kid that had just come back up. A little girl woke up from a dream and she said, I had a dream that Grandpa Krog was rubbing two sticks together and he made clouds just like the clouds that come from the volcano where we go collect our fire. And everyone said, well, everybody knows you can't do that. And she says, yeah. And it got really warm, like when the sun's hot. And everyone said, oh, no, everyone knows you can't copy the sun. And then the old man, who's never spoken up before, says, I don't want you to think I'm crazy or thinking I'm like God or anything, but I was drilling a hole once and my stone bit broke out and I wasn't paying attention. I was babysitting, watching the kids. And I looked down and there was clouds coming out of the stick I was drilling because I was drilling a stick on a stick and it made clouds just like that. And I threw it down and walked away. So the dreamer saw something in their dreams. The old man had the experience of actually, I saw that once. And so then some plunk teenage boy who never does anything but sit around and look at people and tell them to do it goes, hey, why don't we try it? And when he said we, he meant somebody else. But then Krog looked up and says, doing? I love doing. And so the dreamer, the young teenage thinker, who never did anything but think about stuff and gave everybody else advice about what they should do. And then the old man, the experienced man, and then the Krog and Krogettes of the world who just like to do stuff. Go running? Oh, yeah, let's go running. Biking? Okay, let's go biking. Lift weights? Oh, I love to lift weights. Stack rock? Oh, yeah, I'm a gardener. Let's stack rocks. So they got together and they gave that stick that was on the other stick to Krog and Krogla, and they took turns and they made a spark. And for the first time in human history, if you believe that story, that version, we got fire. And if you think about all the things that are doing anything for you today, there's a form of fire that's being used to do all your work for you. A form of that energy. It's being produced sometimes by just straight on fire, like if it's a coal-fired power plant over in New Mexico, where it's illegal to do that in California. They make the power in New Mexico and then send it to California because they don't want their air dirty like over there. So they have a national sacrifice area where only Mormons and Indians will get lung cancer, so who cares? So back to the other story. There's this way to make power now by splitting atoms, and it's scaring the crud out of lots of people. It's been used to solve cancer problems. It's been used to blow up big cities in Japan. It's been used to get other countries to threaten other countries to not have a war for the longest period of time that nobody's actually really killed each other in a big way has been when everybody could say, I can kill you too. Okay, let's don't fight. But nuclear power is a scary one right now. What if there's a safe way to use it? Because here's what happened one day, and I'll end here. They started making their own fire. They started copying the sun. They could copy volcanoes. They did not need to go out and find lightning strikes anymore. They could sit in their own cave and make their own fire. It might be in yours and mine's ancestors. And then one day it got out. And it burned down every life form people could see. And since they're the only people they'd ever met, they didn't even know there was any other people, but the entire world, their entire world, everything they could see in their valley, burnt to the ground. And word got out that that is not our way. I'd like you to ponder that. Are there things in our future we're afraid to do because we don't know how to handle the tools? Is it the activity that's wrong, or the way we're using them? And I'd like to end with that question. We all know the answer. And so I'd like my Stone Age connection to end way different than the kids did. We are related to all the people who made the right choice and lived long enough to have a baby. Nobody here is related to somebody who didn't have a baby. That means we were programmed to be successful earthlings and dwellers in this place. Let's enjoy this ride. Let's be happy while we're here and not be afraid of our stupid mistakes, because so many of them have turned out to be really good for us in the end when we finally figured out how to ride that bike. And thank you very much.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.